Father, we come to you thanking you, God, for this time, Lord. We thank you for your love and your grace, Lord. We just give you all glory, God. Glory to your name. We ask, Lord, that in the midst of all these trying times, Lord, some pressure external, some pressure internal, God, that as we get ready to hear what you have to say, Lord, that you continue to keep our eyes and ears fixed on you, God. I ask you, Lord, that with this word, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought and of speech, God. Let me not add to nor subtract from what you would have to say. And we already know your word is blessed, but we ask that you just open the hearts and minds of our hearers as well as the speaker. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, we will be ending the series on evangelism for his glory. And the first time we talked, it was about basic evangelism. And it was, some of us may remember that it was in the backdrop of all of these protests and riots and looting that was going on. And we addressed the question, with all of this mess, how do we evangelize? Step one, what we talked about was we need to care. We said that in the midst of all this mess, the primary issue is not political. The primary issue is not with the system, although those are symptoms of the problem. The problem is that people are lost like sheep without a shepherd. And then we said that, you know, as a church, if we don't care about people's spiritual needs, talking about basic evangelism, if we don't care about people's spiritual needs, we will never feel the need to evangelize. The next step we talked about was to pray. And we said, what is the answer to these people's spiritual need? What's the answer to all this mess? And we read the scripture which said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into the harvest. And then point number three is to go. We said that as we pray and look at God, he might be looking right back at us. That sometimes through the Spirit, we are the answer to our own prayer. Then we moved last week to intermediate evangelism. So we went from basic to intermediate. And then last week we talked about what matters in evangelism. And then we talked about six general points, one being culture, just like announcing a pregnancy to the ones closest to you and then extending out. We want to make sure we announce the best news, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, to those that we know and then branch out. It would look weird to start out but never come in. Then point number two is the content. We talked about preaching the gospel, and that although the gospel is already relevant, we need to ensure that they see its relevance. Then we went to confirmation. We need to confirm that the gospel is true. This is done by good works as well as miracles. And then we talked about, you know, if we believe in miracles. Then we moved on to confidence. To have confidence in God, don't merely depend on your preparation for evangelism, but to depend on God and what he has already given you. Then we talked about company. Watch the company you keep when you evangelize. You don't want your reputation ruined and the gospel discredited all because of your friends. And then we talked about understanding when it's the time to move on, closure, and not to try to stick around and try to convince people, because we don't have the power to do that. So the last installment of Evangelism for His Glory continues to come from the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 10th chapter. And that will be the 16th through the 20th verses. 16th through the 20th verses. It's on the screen if it's hard for you to see or may not have your Bible today. The book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 16th through the 20th verses. If you have it, say amen. If you need some time, say, wait a minute. All right. I like to hear wait a minute, because that means that there's some people that actually care about looking this up. Amen. The book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 16th through the 20th verses, out of the Christian Standard Bible, read as follows. Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of them, because they will hand you over to local courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will even be brought before governors because of me, to bear witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you are to speak, for you will be given what to say at that hour, because it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. I would like to come from the subject advanced evangelism. We did the basic evangelism. We covered intermediate evangelism. And now we want to talk about advanced evangelism. It's hard for me to preach about persecution. It is a tough subject, not just because of the content of what persecution is, but it's a tough subject because we as Americans really do not know what it is like to be truly persecuted for our faith. In America, a Christian nation, we need not worry about professing the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and then potentially getting our water cut off, our electricity shut down. We don't have to worry about saying that we attend a church and worry about not getting jobs because we proclaim the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need not worry about holding a Bible and wondering when the government is going to raid our doors and if they're going to leave any survivors. We need not worry about that, but we have our Christian brothers and sisters in other countries that are worrying about that every single day. Again, we say it's a blessing to be able to have this service. It's a blessing to be able to stream this service so publicly, because in other countries, they have to be quiet. We don't really truly know what being persecuted for our faith means in America. However, there are degrees of persecution that maybe we have experienced. If we want to talk about what persecution would truly, truly look like, the closest thing I could come up to was in my memory, was the civil rights era, where if you were to march on the streets and promote civil rights for African Americans and other races, you could have been met with hoses, you could be met with dogs, or worse yet, you could be met with the police. It's hard to talk about persecution in America, but that is the closest that there has been as far as persecution is the civil rights era. But it is not to say that our experiences mean nothing. Sometimes when we share Christ, we're in danger of losing friends. Sometimes when we share Christ, those who are being unfair at our jobs may limit us from getting the promotion we so deserve. Sometimes when we share Christ, people are looking to embarrass us. It does happen. Maybe not to the degree that it happens in India or Indonesia, but it does happen here. And if we're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do we do when there's persecution? How should we respond to whatever type of persecution that we experience? And I want to offer you just two points to consider. How should we respond to persecution? Number one is to be smart. Be smart. When Jesus is talking to the disciples and preparing them for their first evangelistic trip apart from Jesus, when he's preparing them, again, we've talked about basic and intermediate evangelism, talking about everything that goes with it, but then he let them know that people will reject the gospel. But not only will they reject the gospel, they will punish you for the gospel. It's okay. I'm not looking for amens. This is not an amen message. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Some people will punish you for what you believe. And when you're among those people, Jesus is saying, be smart. Let's look at the passage. It says, look, Jesus is speaking, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I don't know how much you know about sheep and wolves, but wolves are predators. That means they, in relation to the sheep, they're looking for the sheep, and they want to eat the sheep. And God and Jesus is saying, look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Let me say it like this. Jesus is saying, I am putting you in harm's way. Wait, did God say that? Let me read. Look, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. For the faith to represent me, Jesus Christ, I am sending you out among people that are not only going to reject the message, but they are going to punish you for even bringing the message. And Jesus says, and we're asking a question, how do we respond to that? Jesus does not want us to fold over to the enemy, but to outthink them. He says, therefore, be as shrewd as serpents. Outthink them, but don't taint your witness. Don't taint your witness. Says, be shrewd as serpents, but as innocent as doves. Let me give you an example. I spent some time reading about Martin Luther King Jr. And again, he's not the only civil rights activist, but he was one of the most prominent, if not the most prominent, one in the civil rights movement. And Dr. King, when faced with the persecution in the form of white supremacy and the systems and the Jim Crow laws in place, he could have just folded over to the system. But instead, he was shrewd. How was he shrewd? Dr. King was a master TV producer. TVs, televisions at that time, about 90% of households had a television. It was new. It was relatively new technology during the Civil War, Civil Rights era. And now more, it was being more commoditized and more houses were getting it. So he says, you know what? If we just go march in Montgomery and we just march, they'll come after us and they'll sick us with dogs and all of that. But he says, but if the press is there, you see how he's thinking? If we can get the cameras to come here and show the rest of the country and the rest of the world what's going on down here, maybe things will be different. So what did he do? There were still dogs and hoses and police and all of these things happening, but the press, who, by the way, their interest is just getting a good story. You know, if any of you know journalists, they live for the story. So the journalists, you know, come down from the north to the south, and they have this interesting story that can run a whole lot of headlines. And if they can come down here and get this, and oh man, that'll be great. And then guess what? The white Southerners, who the ones oppressing, didn't like them there, tried to run them out. So guess what? The white Southerners made enemies with the press. So you've heard that term, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So guess what? The media ended up allying with the black movement because they had a common enemy. Again, shrewd. Shrewd. He thought this through. And it did work, didn't it? The rest of the country saw it. The rest of the country was horrified that maybe it's not just black people just talking, but it's actually happening because we see it with our own eyes. Again, does this sound familiar? We actually see it with our own eyes, so therefore there is a problem. Shrewd, shrewd, shrewd. But he maintained innocence. People would march doing nothing wrong and get hosed down. People would just be sitting at a counter doing nothing wrong and get dragged away. Be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Some of us may be saying with evangelism, can't we just focus on preaching the gospel? Why do we have to do all of this extra work? Why do we have to think and worry about, you know, what is the press and who can we ally with and the friends? Why do we have to think about that? Just preach the word. Why all of this scheming? Let me keep reading. It says, Jesus is saying, beware of them, because they will hand you over to local courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will even be brought before governors and kings because of me. To do what? To bear witness to them and to the Gentiles. Why do we need to be smart? Sometimes persecution opens the door for evangelism. It sounds weird. It sounds backwards. Because you're getting persecuted because you evangelize. But sometimes persecution opens the doors to further evangelism. It says you will be even be brought before governors and kings because of me. Why would they bring you before them if you weren't getting persecuted? So, what the devil meant for bad, God meant and turned it around for good. So through your shame and embarrassment, God gets all the glory. In our weakness, he is seen as strong. I say this because there was an opportunity that I missed. I'm going to talk about an opportunity I missed for evangelism. I remember being online and someone was debating or said something anti-Christian, anti-God, and then started to make fun of me because, you know, how can I believe in God? And the insults were getting personal and you know, and for me, I'm such a peacemaker. I don't want to get people, you know, I don't want a bunch of commotion. I just want to, you know, resolve this. So what I did was invite the person to speak to me privately. And then we kind of discussed things privately and went our separate ways. But I missed the opportunity. Because when you're online debating it, a whole lot of people are watching. A whole lot of people are watching. Even in the book of Proverbs, I think of chapter 19, verse 25, and of chapter 21, verse 11. Sometimes you need to argue with people, not so that they can be convinced, but so that everyone else can hear. We have had Christian and atheist debates, and it's not so that they can convince each other, but both of them have the objective of the audience who is watching to start forming an opinion. Why all of this scheming? Why do we need to be shrewd and innocent? Why do we need to be smart? Because evangelism might not necessarily be for the people you're talking to, but it might be for the people around. And you only know that if you be smart. Be smart. But then the other point is to be on standby. Be on standby. Let the Spirit take over. Be ready. Be on standby, listening to hear his instructions. A lot of us have seen spy movies and government movies where they have like an earpiece they put in the ear, and they're just waiting for command control or someone to guide them exactly on where to go and what to do. And even when they're asked to know what the plan is, they say, don't worry, just when you get there, you'll receive instructions. I say that because Jesus tells them, when they hand you over, little old you, when they hand you over to the governors and kings that we were talking about, when you are handed over, to talk in front of people about your faith. When you are handed over to speak in front of bosses and mayors, and when you're handed over, the number one question we want to know is, what do we do? What do we say? And Jesus says, don't worry about how or what you are to speak, for you will be given what to say at that hour. Because it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. God never abandons us. The scripture says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Even if we're not clear on what to do, what to say, how to say it, God will. It says will. Didn't say should. Let me back up. Let me make sure. It says, for you will, right? I know there's different versions of the Bible in here. Does it say will in your version? You will be, not might, not maybe, not possibly, not probably, not 99% of the time. You will be given what to say when people put you on the spot. You will be told what to do when people are getting ready to embarrass you. You will be given what to say when you feel like you're over your head. You will be given what to say when it seems like you have to represent all Christians by the words of your mouth. You will be given what to say. So then some of us may ask, how will we know that the Spirit is speaking instead of us? How will we know that the Spirit is speaking instead of us? That is something I highly suggest you figure out before persecution, because we should be living our lives by the Spirit of God every day, not just depending on the Spirit of God when we're in trouble, but we should be listening to him day by day. As we're reading our word, we should be listening to him over and over. But how will we know that the Spirit is speaking instead of us? To many of us who have heard the Lord, who have heard the Spirit of God speak to us, and again, this is not a special ability, this is not a power, this is not reserved for those with status. Anybody can hear from God. But how will we know? You'll know if you read the Bible over and over, because the Word of God, which is inspired by the Spirit of God, sounds like the Spirit. He sounds like the words he says. But then you'll know that the Spirit is speaking, not only because it aligns up with the Word of God, but I can tell you from personal experience, sometimes he is counterintuitive. Sometimes the things that I would normally say are not what he says. So if he gives me something to say, you'll know, like, that sounds different than what I would say. But again, the scripture says it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. So there's a difference in how you speak and how the Spirit of God speaks. There's many other ways that the Spirit of God can sound different. It'll be more, a little more unexpected. Maybe you'll even be bolder. Normally when you cower down, the Spirit will give you a power and boldness to preach the Word of God. But then also the Spirit is perfect. He says the right thing. He knows exactly what to say in that situation. But the point, again, is to be on stand by. Be ready to hear him. As I close, being smart and to be on standby is how we respond to persecution. Some of us may realize that the story of Christianity in America is interesting. We were a very Christian nation, so to speak. We weren't perfect, okay? But we at least publicly revered Christ more than we do now. We are actually more of a post-Christian nation. You're starting to see the narrative of the church being allied with certain political parties. The church is the center of bigotry and hate and envy and untruth. The church is the center of hypocrisy. You're starting to hear that narrative, and you're starting to see a lot of positive things happen without the church. And then you're starting to hear all the negative things that church people do. Again, we talked about the media. There's a story being created. So I say this to you because there is a time that is coming and may now be that we are seen as the enemy of America. There may be a time when we say that when we trust in Jesus Christ, we will be sneered at. We will be scowled at. We will be cast aside. But I come and tell you that stick up for your faith, because Jesus was sneered at. He was scowled at. Even though he went around healing and teaching and doing more good than any movement or any organization can do, they still hung him on a cross for our sins. They still persecuted him and blamed him and mislabeled him. They still did it. And if Jesus went through it, guess what? We're going to go through it. But stay the course. Because Jesus did die, and he was buried, but on that third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. This Jesus is telling us to be smart. Be smart. We don't just fold over to the devil. We don't just be a doormat to the world. Be smart. Shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves. Let our persecution be real persecution. But then be on standby. Because just because these people rejected you doesn't mean that it's over. Because these people might hand you over to these people. And these people might hand you over to these people. And they may have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ unless you had to deal with these people. God said, Paul says to count it, not Paul, but count it all joy when you go through diverse, various temptations. That was James that said it. Count it all joy when persecution comes. Count it all joy when people ridicule you and laugh at you, and exclude you, disown you, reject you. Count it all joy, because the gospel is getting out. The gospel is getting out.